Hello and welcome to Parking Thought, the show where we highlight the good in the world from the extraordinary to the everyday. You're going to want to like and subscribe wherever you happen to find us. Curiosity meet gratitude. My name is Jacob and I'm glad you're here today. This week we're going to be talking about family history, and maybe that's a topic you haven't really come across before. I mean, a lot of times we think of family history and we associate that with regular history, right, where we're supposed to know about kings and princes and what they did and all that sort of stuff, and really that's not the case. We are all these wonderful creatures who are, you know, the consequence of lots of people making small decisions over a long course of time that really turn us into who we are. And there's some themes when you start engaging family history in different ways, there's some themes that come up and they're absolutely fun and wonderful to discover. So I want to talk a little bit about a couple of those. I want to bring in some of the examples from my family history. Again, not to brag. I mean, some people grow up not knowing their family history, and you know, that's fine. The adventure of looking and understanding is really rewarding in its own right. So before we start off getting into this particular episode's topic, I want to talk a little bit about Dr. Bruce, right? So Dr. Bruce runs a podcast called I See Old People. And his premise here is really amazing. We've talked about this before in a previous episode, but I want to bring this up again because the premise is really amazing. It is, you know, he wakes up at the age of 60 and realizes that now he's in the category of being an older person. And he does this podcast where he interviews people and he talks about various things and the subjects and the way he sees them. Now, I bring this up for two reasons. One of them is he and I kind of exchange episodes back and forth talking about one another, which is a fun way to podcast, by the way. So we're grateful to bring the rest of you guys along to our conversation. So I give one side of it, and then he'll usually respond at part of his show, you know, with the other side of it. And recently, he had has talked about how he is loved being a trivia guy who understood and was able to do trivia, including geography and those sorts of things. And he had had the impression that Idaho was somewhere in the Midwest, you know, and then realized after he looked it up on the map that he gets from looking at his podcast subscribers that Idaho is actually in the Mountain West. And, you know, that kind of surprised him. And so he went back and used it as an opportunity to go and look at some of the geography of the United States again. And as he was doing this, he found all kinds of wonderful facts. So I'm going to link to that episode where he finds all these wonderful facts about the border between the US and Canada and how that works out. Now, one of the reasons why I really appreciate Dr. Bruce's show is because I don't just hear this person who's realized he's 60 talking about what the next 30 years of his life is going to be. I hear a person who's actually capturing his family history. He's capturing things that he cares about and things that, you know, generations after him may want to know about him when they find him as a name, you know, on some family tree or some family record. They're going to want some further information, and he's leaving behind a legacy through his podcast of all of those different things. You know, when I first started listening to Dr. Bruce, he was doing interviews with folks who were older than he was in his community. And what a great gift to those families of those people he interviewed to be able to say, you know, hey, I interviewed, you know, so-and-so, your 90-year-old great-great-grandfather, you know, or great-grandfather, you know, who was in World War II and did this thing and that thing. And being able to pass those recordings on to the family are really wonderful. Recently, I just got a message that one of the brethren in our church passed away over the weekend or in the past couple of days. And while we do believe that people live past, you know, this life, it's one of those things where, you know, the time for them to leave a legacy ends at some point while we're here. And this brethren had left a wonderful legacy. I mean, he was homebound for quite a while, but he had an assignment to check in on a couple of families in the ward, and he would do that with phone calls and text messages, and when his health would permit, he would go visit. And just really a stalwart gentleman in doing that. But his time to leave his legacy behind has ended, you know, and he left a good one. And I think that when we have the services for him, there will be a lot of people who can talk about what that legacy has been. So in my family history, one of the legacies that's been left behind is from my ancestor, Lucius Clark. And I recently did an interview with Rocco from the Linux Spotlight podcast, where he had noticed I'd written and edited a book on Lucius Clark that's available on Amazon. I'll link to it in case you guys are more curious. But Lucius also lived in a modern enough era where we could see, he lived from the early 1900s or late 1800s all the way up until, you know, my early days, right? 1980s is, I believe, when he passed away. And his family was a polygamist family that started off in Star Valley, moved down to Mexico. They had a relationship with the Romneys, right? Either financial or they knew them. You know, the same Mitt Romney and his family the same Mitt Romney that's now a senator and had, you know, run for president a few years ago. You know, that family line had kind of crossed, and it's really pretty interesting to hear. So I've got a recording from Lucius where one of his grandsons, and I don't know who, right, but one of his grandsons had a tape recorder a number of years ago and was asking him questions. And so you're going to hear in today's episode Lucius Clark talk about his experience the day that his father died and what he was doing and a miracle that saved his life. You're also going to hear after that his grandson ask him the question about, you know, his dad, right? And get to understand a little bit more about what it was like to be a child growing up in a polygamist home. And I don't want the audience here, I don't want you guys to judge, you know, based upon their perspective of morality, but this is a legacy, right? And this is the way they lived. And this is how it shaped the future generations of the family. Now, we don't have a polygamist society, you know, as, you know, percentage-wise, as large as they did back then, or anything along those lines. But what we do have is we do have these stories. I mean, can you imagine? This is the same generation that crossed the plains and is settling the West. Could you imagine being responsible not just for yourself, but a family, right? And then not just being responsible for one family and making sure that they had the means to survive, but being responsible for multiple families. And so while we may look at polygamy with some sort of moralistic standpoint, logistically, looking at how you take care of multiple families is a tremendous accomplishment, and something definitely worth looking at. Now, Lucius will tell the story from here on. So I'll let him talk and I'll give you a little closure at the end so we can close out the episode.
Tell a story about the night your father died and you were up with the scouts.
We lived in Preston. I was teaching school in Preston. A year after we came out of Mexico, I started teaching school in order to and I've been taught ever since. Well, we were teaching in Preston, and I was a scoutmaster, and I had several scouts, quite a bunch of them, about 25 scouts. And I took them over to Bear Lake. Maybe you people know where Bear Lake is. Mm-hmm. Ever heard of it? Mm-hmm. We took them over the mountains in Preston. And we were having a lot of fun over there, and they were swimming, celebrating. We'd been there a day and a half. She called up, and I don't know how you ever got me, how did you? Told me my father had been killed in an automobile accident. That's another long story, I won't go into details. And so, of course, they thought, said if I could see if I could get somebody to take care of the scouts so I could come home. So we took two or three horses with us, and I took one horse, and had a saddle on it. I started home about 5 o'clock at night, and I had to go over the mountain into Preston. And about 8 o'clock at night, I got right on top of the mountain, and it got very cloudy, and then it began to rain. And of all the thunderstorms that I was ever in, that was it. I never saw it rain so hard before since. At least it seemed to me like it was pretty hard. Lightning, hitting the trees all around me, and I was riding along and just pouring down. And then the cool air up on that mountain and the rain, and I was just soaking wet. And I started down the other side, and it's about Well, it must have been 10 or 11 o'clock before I got near the bottom of the mountain on the side of Preston. Preston would be about 10 miles away from there. Well, I could do to follow the trail. My horse helped me out and he followed it along. And finally, I decided I couldn't walk any further and I couldn't ride because I had freeze to death. If I'd ride, I was cold. So I offered a prayer if anything could happen. If I something, I knew I couldn't go 10 more miles in the condition I was in because I was so cold. So near, well, I just almost decided to give up and lie down and die. And then I saw a little light through the trees and I went towards that light. And I came to a little cabin, and I went and knocked on the door, and the man said, come in, come in. He said, now I know why I couldn't put that light out. He said, I've been sleeping, I was going to bed, and somebody said, leave that light burning, leave that light burning, don't you put it out. I said, well, that's very interesting for you to feel that way. Well, he said, I'm not joking, I heard somebody say, don't put the light out. And I said, I don't know why, but I said, it's burning. But I know as I'm living that I never could have made that 10 miles, so being wet and just so cold that I couldn't walk. And I couldn't ride, it's so cold to ride. Well, he said, let me take care of your horse, and you come in here, and I'll find some clothes for you, and we'll get you dry. Well, I stayed there that night. The next morning I rode to wrestle away in Preston, rejoicing to arrive there in time for my father's coming. Well, that was quite an exciting story. I'll always remember because it made quite an impression on me.
I remember too because after it was a tiny, tiny baby.
After the baby, at that time.
I was 3 days old when he died.
She was.
What day did he die?
Was
that July?
Oh, yes.
I was born the 9th, and this was he died
that night. I don't quite remember the day.
We had to go to Blackfoot from Preston to Blackfoot for the funeral. But we arrived there in time. Taking advantage of our conveyances. I don't remember how we went even. I can't even remember how we went to the funeral, but we got there.
Grandpa was this is Arthur Benjamin?
Yes.
Was he a polygamist?
Yes.
How many wives and what were their names?
Oh, you're getting into details now. You sure you won't think any less of me if I tell you?
Three wives.
My Helen Clark was his first wife, and my mother was his second wife, because her name was Mary, and Adolphus.
Sherry Adolphus.
Shirley Dolphin, was his third wife. And he had three families. And they got along very well, and we were quite proud of our family. My brothers and sisters, we think so much of each other that I don't think we can think any more of them if they all belong to one woman, as far as that's concerned.
Did you all live together in a big house? Or did
they all had separate.
Each family had their own house.
They had their separate house. And my father was a dentist, and he used to be away from home at least 9/10 of the time, working to help support his family. And as soon as the older boys got old enough, why, they all pitched in and helped make a living. These women were like, they were marvelous people to know how to help take care of themselves. Now, my mother was a practical nurse. She was the only doctor in Star Valley for about 10 years that I know of. And she took care of all kinds of sickness, delivering your babies and so on. She was the only person that could do anything with sick people. And my mother was away from home, I was going to say 9/10 of the time. And we boys had to learn how to cook and do things to survive. There wasn't any of my brothers that couldn't fix a meal in some kind anyway, so and make bread and do things like that. We had to do it or starve, so we learned to do it. Because my mother was away taking care of sick people. And she was able to earn enough doing that to support the family practically. And my father was In those days, he'd have to canvass the whole South, spend a whole day going all around the town to find enough business to earn about $25 or $15, and he'd go to another town. Today, you go to a dentist, you have to do well to get an appointment in the next 6 weeks. And then they leave their office. And my father, people never did anything unless they see it from half God.
I heard a man tell once about one of the most vivid memories he had as a boy was working with his dad with a bad toothache. And they were out in the fields, I think in the hay. And his dad spotted that little Ford. Your father apparently drove a little Ford, and it was kind of a distinctive little car. He recognized it.
Yeah.
And he says, "Here comes that traveling dentist." And he run to catch him. So he says, "I ran to the edge of the field and hailed him down. And then he came over and laid me down and put my head back on that piece of farm equipment, a wagon or something, and pulled my tooth right there." And then he said, "I can stop taking it." He said,
"All right."
So that's a really neat thing, to be able to listen to a voice that's no longer here on the earth talk about an experience with his father, or trying to get to his father's funeral, and the experiences that, and the environment that it was like when he was growing up. So let's wrap this up. Thank you guys for listening. This is the part where I tell you that the best way to say thank you for this episode is to share it with someone that you know. And if you're just joining us for this episode, we're glad you can make it. If you want to stick around for the long haul, we've curated the subscribe links over at parkingthought.com. Just go ahead and hit that subscribe button there. And you can find the links to Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, all that other stuff. If you don't want to hit those links, you can just go ahead and search in whatever your podcast app is. We should come right up. And if we don't, please let me know so we can go ahead and get it added there. At the end of each episode, I like to offer a challenge to remember that in a world where we can choose to be anything, why not choose to be grateful?